Hello and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Base Paths. I'm Josh Franz, joined always by Gabe Cordoba Hawthorne. Today we're going to look at how the playoffs are coming about and pick our third baseman for our all-century team. Gabe, get us going.
All right, well, we had a new thing to the playoffs this year, the one-game play-in for the wild card. First in the National League, we had the Cardinals playing the Braves, and in the American League, we had the surprising Orioles playing the always powerful Texas team. So we'll start on the AL, Josh. You had, I can't remember even who was pitching for the Orioles against Yu Darvish.
Well, it doesn't matter who they throw up there. Everybody plays well for them now. Doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, exactly. They're not a great team, but they just seem to be getting the job done. And they ended up winning the game by a score of 5-1, I do believe. And everybody was just chipping in for that team. They ended up getting the job done.
That's right, they did. Texas underachieving for a third year in a row. They come in every year with World Series aspirations. Made it and lost the past 2 years. This year, because of the new wild card rule, they did a play-in game.
Well, you know, they would have had that play-in game anyway.
They would have, just because they tied with the same record.
Exactly.
So it didn't make a difference, but it didn't work out this year for
them. Nolan Ryan can't be happy about that. You know he wants that World Series, and every year the team does so, the last few years at least, they've done so well, and for him to watch them lose in the World Series for 2 years in a row just has to be heartbreaking. And then to not even make it back to the postseason this year, I mean, he just has to be distraught. I am curious to see what moves he's going to make in this offseason, if Josh Hamilton will even come back.
Well, it's funny you say making moves. I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the hill for Texas next year.
Yeah, right?
He cares so much about this team, he's willing to do anything. He's going to do his best to put the best talent on the field. And I don't know if that means Ron Washington will have to be changed. I don't think anybody's really questioning that.
No, but I think talent, Ron Washington's back.
But with the talent they have on the field, he's not winning.
Oh, but he is winning. You see.
Okay, he's not winning when it matters.
Yeah, but they had the Cardinals down to the last strike. And if Tally Feliz gives up a meatball to David Freese, I mean, you can't really put that on. Well,
Nelson Cruz could have caught a ball in right field. That would have ended the whole thing.
To an effect, that's more the player rather than the manager. We all know Nelson Cruz isn't—he's kind of a loafer at times. You know, he will try; he'll hit the bomb, but he doesn't always give it 100% out in the field.
Right, you know what you're going to get from him, though.
Yeah, exactly. One thing I will say to our listeners, though, is watch out, because Texas—if they don't re-sign Josh Hamilton—they might be making a strong push for Justin Upton.
Well, they can make a push at just about anybody if they don't re-sign Josh Hamilton with the cap room that they're going to have left.
Yeah,
so they're going to be dangerous either way, because either if they get him or they're going to get new guys who want to go to Texas, play for Ron Washington, who really does have a reputation as a player's manager and a guy who can win during the regular season.
Yeah.
I'm not a knock on Ron Washington, just the team as a whole just hasn't won in the later months of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one problem they need to address, though, is their starting pitching. When you have Yu Darvish, a rookie, starting your play-in game to the playoffs, I mean, he pitched well, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, if you but take away that, Mike Trout, he's rookie of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe Yonis Cespedes, but you know, all out in the AL West. But I just don't see anyone really after him. Derek Holland, he's gonna be good. But you know, there's no one that really stands out to you. Their biggest name is Roy Oswalt, and he's kind
of
old.
Right. Maybe you get rid of Josh Hamilton. Probably Upton's going to cost less than Hamilton. You can bring in Upton and then bring in a starting pitcher or two, or move somebody in from the bullpen and bring some bullpen guys in.
Yeah, I think Texas is going to be busy this offseason, though. Whether it's free agency or trades, they have the prospects to trade. They can even trade Elvis Andrews. That's the trade I see happening. Justin to Texas for Elvis Andrews, and then, you know, obviously some lesser quote-unquote pieces.
Well, they have a longer offseason to do with whatever they want.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's move on to the other wild card game.
All right, we had St. Louis playing the Atlanta Braves, and if you caught the game, then you all know about the
controversial call, to say the least.
Yeah, infield fly called by the left field umpire, I believe.
Yeah, you know, in the playoffs we have a 6-man crew as opposed to the normal season when there's a 4-man crew.
Yeah, so they're not supposed to miss anything, right?
That's
you think.
They didn't make a non-call.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is what somebody might have preferred. But yeah, you have an extra guy on each line looking toward the outfield.
Yep.
And it's an infield fly rule.
Called by an outfield umpire. Something just doesn't sound right about that.
If he had pointed up in the air once the ball cracked the bat and yelled infield fly, I wouldn't have had a problem with it. Because at that point, it was still a routine play. It should have been caught. When you're yelling infield fly a second and a half before the ball hits the ground,
and
two guys clearly haven't decided who's catching it yet, it's no longer routine, and it's too late for the base runners to take advantage of anything. it was just botched.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I do want to point out is that this infield fly rule is designed to prevent double plays.
It's to protect the base runners.
Yeah, exactly. So if you think about this play, a pop fly to middle to shallow left field.
The outfield.
Yeah. You have the person on first, the runner on first base, I guarantee you, I haven't seen it on the highlight, but I guarantee you that he was halfway to second base. There is no way that the St. Louis Cardinals, if that ball is dropped, are getting two outs. There's going to be a runner on first and second again, and then they might have gotten the runner at third base. But there is absolutely no way that him calling infield fly prevented a double play.
Well, I've looked at this highlight many a times, and I will tell you, they had a guaranteed bases loaded one out situation. The guy was halfway down in between second and third. The guy was three quarters of the way down in between first and second. If he catches it, they go back very easily.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it drops, they were standing on the bases. It really wasn't an issue. They missed the call. They made the bad call. But then they go look at it. They protest it. They have time to look at the video replay. And they just don't change it.
You can't really overturn it.
Why not?
At that point.
Why?
Well, I don't think it's a play that can be overturned when it comes to... Because you're kind of saying... I'll say this. I'm an umpire. I umpire Little League baseball.
And I've done it too.
There's an unspoken rule that if an umpire makes a call, you have their back. Everybody on the crew has that, no matter how wrong they think the call is.
No, I completely agree with that. So what would have had to happen was he needs to talk to his fellow umpires. They need to tell him what the right call is, and then he decides if he wants to change it or not. And I've umpired too. If I mess up a call, I will change it because it's not about me being right or wrong. It's about the game being right, me changing my mind to make the players get what they deserve and a fair game on the field.
Yeah, but, I mean, we've seen big league umpires that, you hate to say it, but I think some of them have big egos. They think they think that their call is the all be it end all, that they're right no matter what. I think if he looks at the replay, he knows he's wrong. So
right, that's why I think it's an easy switch. Part of the problem, we're kind of getting off topic, I'll get off it for a second. Part of the problem is that once umpires are in Major League Baseball, they can't be fired. They're in baseball for life. And so guys can have the liberty to do whatever they want, and they're not going to be punished for it. So they will have the egos that they want. They will toss guys when they want to, and there's no repercussions whatsoever.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was the big call from it. The Braves would have had a great chance to tie it, take the lead, score some more runs than they did. Granted, they had bases loaded a couple times in this game and couldn't get anything out of it.
They missed opportunities all game. They had errors all game.
Absolutely.
You're not going to blame it on this one call if you're them, but the one call that could have been changed could have saved their game.
Yeah, the one bad call probably hurt them a lot. Definitely hurt them. So now we got the Cardinals playing the Nats instead of the Braves playing the Nats. This series is shaping up quite nicely. We have a little 1-1 going back to Washington. Not really a whole lot of pitching. You know, they don't have Strasburg. So.
Right. That's a guy they could use right now to take this series.
Yeah, seriously.
By the bull by the horns and just take over.
He could pitch two games. That's pretty much two guaranteed wins right there.
I wouldn't go that far with Carpenter and Wade right on the other end.
Carpenter's just coming back from an injury. Wainwright isn't the same pitcher. He's good. He had 10 Ks, actually, so what am I saying? But, I mean, I still think that if Strasburg was on the hill, the Nationals are a shoe-in for this division series win. Now, I mean, the Cardinals
They hit the ball. Every single guy who steps to the plate wearing a Cardinals uniform can hit the ball.
They arguably have the best batting order in the playoffs. I would say
doesn't matter if Pujols is there. Doesn't matter if Tony La Russa is there.
All the people who hit over 300. It doesn't matter.
They just all step up. It doesn't make sense.
And Mike Matheny, he's pushing the right buttons. Pulls Jaime Garcia in the second inning. Gets some runs out of it. Trusts his bullpen. Goes in Lance Lynn, Joe Kelly, and they get the job done against the Nats. We'll see how it is. Nats coming back home. You know, the first playoff series, first game back home, we'll see how it goes.
I don't know if you remember back when we did our preview shows at the beginning of the year, but I remember I picked the Cardinals to make it to the playoffs, and I said it was because of their lineup, they weren't going to miss Pujols. I said, Beltran's going to step in and be a stud.
Yep.
And he's done exactly that. He got his legs back under him. He can move again.
Yeah, he hit two bombs yesterday.
And that's exactly it.
Yeah, and then you have Matt Holliday in that lineup, Yadier Molina.
David Freese, too. Yeah, come playoff times, the stud.
Yep, so they have a good lineup. Well, now that you brought up something that you said in the pre-show, I'll bring up something that I said to watch out for these Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, you said watch out for them. You said they weren't going to make the playoffs. We said watch out for him.
If I remember correctly, it might have been a pre-meeting thing where I said I didn't want to pick the Reds, but maybe I didn't trust their pitching enough, and that was their strength. But then Johnny Cueto pitches 8 pitches, goes out, and they still managed to hold it together, win 2 in San Francisco, and they honestly looked primed to push towards the World Series. But Brandon Phillips got hurt tonight. Looked like a strain. He strained his calf. If they can't have Brandon Phillips out there, and I don't know if they're a World Series contending team. He's a huge asset to that team.
He is a huge asset. It looked like he pulled something. Might be out about a week, two, depending on the severity of it. Could be a lot worse. We don't know yet. But it's something that guys can rally around too. And you saw in football this week. Obviously, it's a completely different situation with the Colts and Chuck Pagano. With him being ill and them rallying around him and fighting for a victory. Different situation completely. But still, Brandon Phillips is a guy that is a clubhouse guy. The guys like him. They respect him.
I would argue that he's the captain of that team, to be truly and honest. You know, you have Scott Rolen there. I think he's a big veteran presence. But I think when it comes down to somebody who gets your team going, somebody who's always
he's a momentum guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Hitting leadoff, hitting .400. He can hit anywhere in your lineup. Plays second base better than, I would say, anybody in the league. Deserves a gold glove almost every year. I mean, the guy just
it's a huge loss, but if he can get the momentum going before the game, get their energy up, he's definitely a guy that can rally around and try and win around him.
Absolutely.
For him.
I think that they should have wrapped it up tonight, in my opinion. You know, a wild pitch, just a couple boneheaded moves. Scott Rolen making an error to let the
when does
second
that happen?
Run. I know, right? In the 10th inning, nonetheless.
We've seen third baseman make errors all playoff long. I mean, Chipper Jones and Scott Rolen, too. Arguably, in my opinion, first ballot Hall of Famers 5 years after the day they retired. Chipper Jones now out of the league. But,
sad day
when your childhood idol's no longer playing baseball. But these guys throwing the ball away. Chipper might have cost his team a playoff win.
Yeah.
Scott Rolen could have cost his team a win, too. These guys don't make errors.
I think he absolutely did cost him a win. Let's see if it's a series win. Granted, they're still up 2-1, 2 more games at home. But we'll see. They're pitching. You know, Matt Latos was sick today. Johnny Cueto,
and then we see
pulled left oblique, so we don't know how long he's going to be out. They might activate Mike Leake, former ASU Sun Devil, but he hasn't been doing amazing. I mean, it's tough to hand him the ball in that ballpark when you need a win. So we'll see. I think if they can pull out this series, wrap it up, and then hopefully that Nationals and Cardinals series goes a little long. Let them rest a little, then I think that the Reds, they'll be okay.
Right, and I know we're going to talk about this series in a little bit, but we're talking about Gold Glovers making errors. And then you see last night, Mark Teixeira have a ball go right between his legs.
Yeah,
he just doesn't get his glove down.
I gotta say.
I know, you're a Red Sox fan. But just look at it as close to being objective as you can, and you just don't see this.
Exactly.
It doesn't happen.
It's the playoffs, man. I mean,
do you think it's the pressure?
Nerves?
Did he Buckner
nerves.
The ball?
Yeah,
hey,
I guess.
That happen?
I think nerves, you know, they affect the greatest of baseball players. We've seen A-Rod, arguably one of the best
right-handed hitters of all time.
Yeah, regular season right-handed hitters of all time. Because when it comes October time, the guy just forgets how to swing a bat. It doesn't make any sense.
It's all mental with him because we know he's not losing talent.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see. Well, now that we've shifted subjects quite nicely, I would say. That Orioles-Yankees series, the Orioles pulled it out with the Rangers, and now it's an AL East showdown going on out there. They're bringing it back to New York, tied 1-1.
Yeah, there's 3 games left at the most in this series. It's the best 2 out of 3, all 3 games in New York. You think the advantage goes to the Yankees. I think the advantage goes to the Yankees anyway. Orioles fans will say, no, we're optimistic. We won every series in Yankee Stadium this year. And while that's true, you don't have the experience. You don't have what it. We don't know if you have what it takes to win the playoffs because we've never seen it before. And we know these Yankees, Derek Jeter, his bunch, can lead this group to victory.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I one thing I will say is I will not count out those Orioles anymore because I thought they were going to die out all year, and they've just kept it up. Adam Jones is a captain for that team. You got Mark Reynolds. Everybody, it's somebody new every night for them.
They all play their part to win baseball games.
I'd say that they're as much of a Moneyball story as the Oakland A's out there.
Definitely.
Because
nobody's being paid $30 million to hit in the middle of the order and strike out like A-Rod is.
Yeah, absolutely. And Adam Jones just got his payday finally. In my opinion, a little late, but he proved that he deserves it. And I'm rooting for this team, but you know it's tough to go against the experience of the Yankees. They're great. Joe Girardi been there. He won it.
Yeah.
you know, they had Russell Martin hit a home run to get in the lead.
Where was that in a Dodger uniform?
Yeah, I know.
He's
right?
been playing better for the Yankees than anybody thought he'd play his entire career. And when you have a catcher hitting in your 8-hole, your 9-hole, and
with the
hitting
speed
home
and
runs,
power that he has,
yeah, he grew up playing corner infield also, so he's got the speed of one of those guys. Can steal bases when necessary. Can field the ball coming up from behind the plate.
And he controls that pitching staff great.
He does. He knows how to call a good game, and that's one thing that I liked about him when he was a Dodger, is he controlled the pitching staff. Billingsley pitched better with him. Kershaw pitches well no matter who he has. But we're not going to get into the Dodgers because they're not in the playoffs. I understand that.
Unfortunately.
But yeah, Russell Martin knows how to control staff.
And then the final series that we got going on, they actually played tonight, Tigers and A's. Tigers, you know, they took advantage of this new playoff format that I'm not too much of a fan of,
the
2-3 thing where the lower seed gets the first two games at home. I don't like it, but I mean, I could see why baseball did it. They had to limit travel days and stuff, but it's just really unfortunate that they had to do it at the expense of the higher seed, essentially.
Right. If you have the better record of the two teams during the season, you should get your first playoff game at home.
Yeah, absolutely. And
it just doesn't make sense.
Oakland's taken the brunt of that. They lost to, you know, it's pretty tough to win against Justin Verlander at Comerica Park. So, you know, there's game one down. And then game two, I think the Tigers were able to pull it out. They scraped enough runs together. And
the Tigers, the way they're playing right now, look like they can win every baseball game they enter into.
Yeah.
Everybody's pitching well. Everybody's doing their part at the bat.
Yep.
And they're managing a good game.
So, we'll run through the playoff series and see who you got so far. Nats and Cards.
Cards. They're too hot.
I got the Nats, so I guess we'll see how that goes.
Strasburgless Nats. I don't know if they can pitch. Go ahead.
I think that they have good hitting, too. And then, other series, we have
Giants
and Reds.
The Giants are down 2-0.
2-1.
Well, they were down 2-0. Okay, they won a game, came back 2-1. I wanted them to lose all year, and they didn't. And now I want them to win because they were my World Series pick once the playoffs started. I'm going to stick with them to win their series.
Okay, I think the Reds are going to pull it out.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm really hoping that they do, too. I'm hoping that they can do it this next game against the Reds. You know, tomorrow we have four games. I'm excited.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it doesn't get much better than that,
this
right?
This whole school thing is getting in the way right now.
Yeah, seriously. I might have to ditch tomorrow just to watch all these games that are going on. Okay, we'll head out to the AL. Tigers and A's?
Tigers.
Yep, Tigers.
Billy Bean did a great job. Manager did a great job, but their year's coming to an end.
Yeah, the Tigers are just too powerful. They get Justin Verlander one more time in this series.
If two wins in five games, and you just need one win somewhere else, it's too easy when you have an ace like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then the final one, we got A's and O's.
That's tough.
I think.
Oh, Yankees and O's.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yankees and O's. My bad.
A's and O's would have been tough.
Yeah.
Yankees
exactly.
And O's. First team to win two out of three in Yankee Stadium. I'm going to go with the Yankees.
I'm going to give it to the O's. I think that
really?
I think that they can pull it out. I like them. I like what Buck Showalter's doing out there.
I do too.
They don't count themselves out of any game. Every single game, they think they have a chance to win. And there's just something about that team that I think they have it.
Whatever it is, they have it.
They have it. Yeah, absolutely.
Fair enough. So we have a little difference of opinions, but luckily it's all predictions, so we can decide who's right in a week or two.
Yeah, actually, come this next episode, we'll see who's right about these division playoffs, right. I think.
Who was your World Series? Did you make a World Series pick at the beginning of the playoffs? I Facebooked mine.
Oh, at the beginning of the playoffs.
Mine was Yankees and Giants. Yankees over Giants.
You know, I don't think I did, but if, you know, then fans, please don't think that this is just me looking at it now. I had this pick in my head. I was thinking Reds and Tigers.
Okay.
I can
see that happening.
Yeah, right? And I liked them before. I liked the Tigers. Justin Verlander's on my fantasy team. He's my boy, so.
How'd your fantasy team do this year?
I actually ended up losing in the finals 6-4 in categories. I was down 9-1 at the end of the first week, brought it back, but I lost by a thousandth of an average point and two saves.
That's tough. You had a great year, though.
Yeah, definitely.
I didn't have a fantasy baseball team this year. I just helped everybody else with theirs.
There you go.
I was the advisor this year. But moving on now, I guess we can pick our third baseman for our all-century team.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the 2000-2010 decade. And Gabe, who do you have playing third?
Me start off? Okay, I'm going to go with someone else. He leads the team. He's the all-time hit leader for this team. Still active. He's out there in Texas. Michael Young. He's been doing it forever. Kind of shortstop eligible, shortstop
He's a utility guy that you're going to put at third
base.
Yeah,
exactly. He plays first base now, but he definitely played third base, so I think we can count him as third base eligible.
That's fine.
He was never super powerful, hit you over 20 home runs, but he's always been that clubhouse guy, hit over 300, close to 100 RBIs every year. And one stat that I thought was amazing that I didn't even realize is that he has had, it looks like, six 200-hit seasons. Now, that's absolutely amazing from your third base player. He always seems to play almost every game. Between 2002 and 2011, the least amount of games he played was 135, but other than that, he consistently went over 150. So he's Mr. Reliable out there on the corner. Played good defense and was always a good clubhouse guy. Everyone seemed to like him. I haven't heard a bad thing about him.
Right. I grew up loving to watch Michael Young play.
Yeah,
he's absolutely. Such an unselfish guy. We see him play third base, shortstop, second base, first base, DH.
Yep, A-Rod comes over. He's like, oh, sure, I'll play third base.
He's done whatever it's taken for that team to be successful. And then he's hit anywhere in the lineup, too. I think I've seen him anywhere between 1 and 6, maybe even later in the lineup. Yep. He'll do whatever the manager asks. He'll do whatever his teammates want.
Without
such
questions,
a great character guy, definitely a positive guy for that locker room, clubhouse. And he produces.
Absolutely.
So Michael Young's a good pick. I love Michael Young. But moving on to might be my favorite baseball player of all time. Partially because my dad's a Mets fan. I love rooting against my dad. And this guy destroyed Mets his entire career. I'm going to go with Chipper Jones.
The man.
Chipper Jones has played his last game in Major League Baseball and it almost brought me to tears. Not really, but I was sad. He had a career of 1995 to 2012 in the majors. He ended his career with... Whoa. His hits total isn't here. That's really weird. That's his postseason stats. Hold on just a second.
Well, while we're waiting, I'll give you Michael Young's total hits. Over 2,200 total hits. The man just did it all for that team. Hit his lifetime average is over 300. Wasn't really a speed guy, but he still got his career almost 1,000 RBIs. And he hit a lot of doubles. Hit over 30 doubles almost every single season within the 2000s. So the man just pretty much did it all for that team. In 2000, he went to, looks to be 7 All-Star games, MVP of one of them, 1 Gold Glove. So he was just able to do it all for that team, and I am happy to have him on my All-Century team. All
right. Sorry about that, folks. That was an amateur moment here at Beyond the Base Paths. I will improve from now on. Chipper Jones started his professional career in 1993, played 8 games, his first field season in 1995. He ended up with 2,726 career hits. You think, if the 1994 season was not a strike, he may have gotten to that 3,000 hit mark.
Yeah, probably, honestly.
And you got to take that into consideration.
You know what, he should have just played one more year just to get to that 3,000.
He's not a selfish guy, and that's something I love about him. He cares about what's best for the Braves. This team is set up now for the future with the middle of that order stacked without him.
Yep.
But you look at the stats, a career 303 hitter and one of the better defensive third basemen of all time. So he's a career 303 hitter, 2,726 career hits, 1,619 runs. He's just a machine every year there for the Braves. Won a World Series.
One of the best switch hitters of all time. Did it constantly for them. And I always seem to be watching a Braves highlight, and it's not really a Braves highlight without Chipper Jones. He was always doing it for them, whether it was barehanded or with the bat.
And now, with his career retired, him on his way to Cooperstown in 5 years, you compare him to who else? Mickey Mantle as the best switch hitters of all time?
Yeah.
Like, who else is there? It's Chipper Jones and Mickey Mantle.
Yeah, there you go.
And what an elite company for Chipper Jones to be a part of.
And we got to watch him, so I'm happy that I got to grow up watching Chipper Jones.
It's like
play
watching
baseball.
It's like growing up watching Kobe.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Exactly.
It's phenomenal.
Exactly. One of the best of our generation, and not a bad pick for your All-Century team, I gotta say.
No, I like my team.
For sure. So I guess next
week we'll pick our left fielders. If we want to pick multiple outfielders, we can.
I think maybe we should do an entire this season's coming to an end. We won't be back until like once this postseason ends. We won't be back until season starts back up next semester. So
So do you want to pick, how about we do center fielders next week, and then the last week we can do corner outfielders.
Okay.
Does that work?
That works.
All right, so Jim Edmonds, he might be called next week. I don't know yet, I got to do some research. But unless there's anything else.
No, I don't think so.
That'll do it for this episode of Beyond the Base Paths. Once again, with Gabe Cordoba-Hawthorne, I'm Josh Franz. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll be back next week.